In Colombia, officials have just released videos and photos recently seized from captured left-wing rebels of several high-profile hostages. It's the first evidence in 4 years that these hostages are still alive. Meanwhile, the discovery earlier this year of a rebel diary in Colombia has made headlines all the way across the Atlantic in the Netherlands. The diary writer was Tanya Neymeyer, a Dutch woman who a few years ago joined Colombia's left-wing rebel group, the FARC. But as her diary, written in Dutch, reveals, Neymeyer isn't entirely happy about her life as a rebel deep in the South American jungle. I asked Dutch journalist Edwin Koopman, who's just returned to the Netherlands from Colombia, how this revealing diary came to light.
It took about 3 months before they were public. Don't forget that the diaries were written in Dutch. So, first of all, the Colombian army had to translate the diaries into Spanish to understand what was written there. And then obviously they were studied and made some selections to look which part would be the most appropriate to publish or to be leaked.
How much is known about Tanya Neymeyer? She's from the Netherlands. We know that. She's in her late 20s. What's her background?
Well, she's coming from just a middle-class family in the northeast of the Netherlands. She went to study in the University of Groningen, and then after a couple of years, she went to Colombia just on a trip and started to do some volunteering work in poor suburbs in the cities in Colombia. And then she became engaged with the poor and with the problems in Colombia, and that's how it all started.
And does anybody know whether she is one of very few Europeans who are with the FARC, or whether there are many with the FARC?
Well, according to the Colombian Secret Service and the Colombian Army, there seem to be about 10 or 15 or 20, they're not sure about it, but let's say a couple of tens of European persons active in the FARC. So if we see that this FARC guerrilla group is about 14 or 15,000 fighters, then we could talk about a quite exceptional case, especially in the case of Tanya, because if we look at the Spanish, Swedish and Danish people active in the FARC, they basically have activities like translations, working in the international internet side, so doing all kinds of jobs where they can use their knowledge of another language. This is not the case with Tanya. Tanya went straight to the jungle to just pick up an arm and join the fight. This is really rare.
Well, stay with us, Edwin. We're going to hear some of these translated extracts now from Tanya Neymeyer's diary. Here's the first one.
The 21st of July, 2006. I'm obsessed with train stations. I often imagine I'm in the station in Groningen, Amsterdam, or Utrecht. I buy a coffee or some chips and get on board. I almost forgot the big news. Two comrades have AIDS, and there may be more. No one here uses contraceptives. The girlfriend of one of the men has no idea what it means. She told me the news with a big grin, and her boyfriend seems totally unconcerned. Another girl, who used to have a relationship with the man, is really worried now. The 23rd of August, 2006. I managed to ring home, but I didn't get permission beforehand, and now Fritz is mad at me too. But I don't care. It was wonderful to hear their voices. Mom started crying, and then Dad did too. Now I just have to patiently wait for my punishment. Everyone can ring home except me. Isn't that ridiculous? Maybe they leave me behind in the jungle forever. Or maybe they'll send me on a foreign mission after this little disobedience. Actually, I don't want to. It doesn't interest me. I might have a new boyfriend. A commandant. He is 30 years old and very special. Maybe it'll work out between us.
And more extracts from Tanya Neymeyer's diary shortly. And still with us is Edwin Koopman in the Netherlands. Edwin, we're talking here about a woman in her late 20s who's joined a revolutionary group, and yet this diary sounds really quite mundane, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, this was a very nice part we just heard, because it reveals the two types of topics she's writing about. At the one hand, she's talking about the commanders who keep everything for themselves. And the other topic she talks about is her relationships with guerrilla men when she misses someone who is in another battalion. So these two topics are mixed all the time in her diary.
Well, let's hear another kind of entry now.
Dear Jens, we've been sitting here for 3 days, waiting to shoot down a helicopter that sometimes flies over. I'm beginning to think that it'll never fly past. I've still got the same boyfriend, but I'm beginning to fall in love with someone else. I wish you were here. Give me some advice, Jens. I just don't think I'm capable of staying with one man to any length of time. Jens, I would have left a trail of broken relationships behind me. The 24th of November, 2006. I'm tired. Tired of the fart, tired of people, and tired of living in this commune. I'm fed up of never having anything of my own. All of this would have a purpose if you knew what you were fighting for. I don't believe in it anymore. What sort of rebel movement is this? Only a few people have money or cigarettes or sweets, and the rest of us have to beg for a share. But you know the higher-ups will just be nasty and say no. It was exactly the same 4 years ago when I joined. Nothing has changed. A girl with big breasts and a pretty face can totally undermine a unit that has worked together for ages. I don't know if I'll ever get out of this jungle. I want to get out of here, at least out of this unit. But you know that you're a sort of prisoner here. It's not the FARC so much as this unit. But I had enough of all that blah, blah, blah of being a communist. All the commandants are corrupt and rabble-rousers and traitors. They've got no sympathy if someone delivers any criticism. I wish I was in a fighting unit.
And that was Tanya Neumeier writing in her diary, and the diary entries are addressed to her friend Jan Sitzthort. And still with us is Edwin Koopman. Edwin, just hearing those extracts from the diary, I mean, there are mixed messages there. On the one hand, you know, she can't wait to shoot down helicopters and have a gun in her hand. On the other hand, she's tired, fed up, irritated, frustrated, and by the sound of it, she wants to leave.
Yeah, well, she says she wants to leave the battalion and go to another place because maybe there's more fighting or more active actions there. But she doesn't say she wants to leave the FARC. She is criticizing all the time the commanders, and in that way, she's behaving, let's say, like a Dutch person, because here we live in a free country where you can say everything, and there you are part of a military structure, and you're not allowed or supposed to give critics.
If she wanted to leave altogether, any indications whether she would be allowed to do that?
Well, a fighter who joins the FARC is warned just from the start that it's for a lifetime. You cannot join the FARC in the jungle and then at a certain moment say, okay, that was it, I'm going to leave and I'm going home. So the permission to leave is very difficult, and obviously after the revelations of these diaries, for her it will be impossible.
Now, this diary was found when she and her fellow FARC members left a camp in a hurry. Does anybody know whether the discovery of this diary, and since it's been leaked, whether that would now place her in danger?
Yeah, well, this is a very relevant question, because what she reveals, obviously, as we've heard, is not at all positive for the image of the life with the guerrilla, especially for the commanders, who she describes as selfish and having a lot of privileges, etc. So you would expect her to be punished. Well, I spoke about this to Colombians who know the FARC very well, people from the Ministry of Defense, but also ex-commanders of the FARC, and they agree that if she had been a Colombian girl, she would definitely have been killed by the FARC as a represalia. And also, if this story would have been published only in Colombia, that could have been the case as well. But the fact that she's a foreigner and the fact that this story became an international story may have saved her from such a radical punishment, because the FARC is very worried about its negative international image. And maybe keeping her alive and someday presenting her and maybe defending the FARC again can prove to the world that they treat their foreign fighters very well.
In Colombia itself, after the diary entries were translated, were they a bit of an eye-opener, or did people say, well, we knew this was the life, you know, if you joined the FARC?
Well, in Colombia, it's very clear what's alive in the FARC and what the FARC is all about. I found actually a lot of anger among the Colombians, anger about the fact that a Dutch girl can be so naive to think that the FARC is a sort of Robin Hood-like liberation movement rather than a criminal organization which kidnaps and blackmails all the time and kills. That's the most common reaction I found in Colombia.
And what about in the Netherlands, in Tanya's own country? Have the diary entries caused much of a stir there?
Well, it's been front page news for a couple of weeks. There have been questions in Parliament urging our Dutch government to press the Colombians to be more cautious with the leaking of this kind of information. I'm not sure if the Colombians would respond to this, because for the Colombian government it's been an excellent opportunity to show that the FARC is not functioning very well, that there's a lot of internal critics. So for the Colombian government it's obviously been a very good possibility to show that they are right and that the FARC is wrong.
Dutch journalist Edwin Koopman telling me about a rebel diary written by a Dutch woman which was found earlier this year at an abandoned rebel camp in Colombia.